ignorance is the official language of Washington, D.C.
I'm here to challenge you to a match.
When it comes to standing up for the American people, I am ready to rumble.
I think that we may need a wrestler in the White House.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby.
My name is Chris Kelly.
We are sitting in Washington, D.C., home of the Trump International Hotel and home of the temporary universal champion, Donald J. Trump.
I don't know. Temporary. It's day 420.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. You know what that means. It's Friday, March 16th at 8:45 in the morning. It is 316 day.
The most important day of the year.
Yes, it is. And here's why. We're going to play a promo real quick. This is one of the most important promos ever cut. The context you need to know is this guy, Stone Cold Steve Austin, had just beat Jake the Snake Roberts, who you might remember from the 80s.
Or the Great American Bash.
Yes, which because Brandon spoke to him and talked about dressing up for him as him for Halloween.
You should talk to your idols.
Yeah. And that Jake the Snake had been, his gimmick was that he was kind of religious and he was trying to put down the bottle. And this is what Stone Cold thought about that.
The fourth prestigious King of the Ring, Stone Cold Steve Austin, an incredible victory.
The first thing I want to be done is to get that piece of crap out of my ring. Don't just get him out of the ring, get him out of the WWF. Because I've proved, son, without a shadow of a doubt, you ain't got what it takes anymore. You sit there and you thump your Bible and you say your prayers and it didn't get you anywhere. Talk about your Psalms, talk about John 3:16. Austin 3:16 says I just whipped your ass.
Come on, that's not necessary.
All he's got to do is go buy him a cheap bottle of Thunderbird and try to dig back some of that courage he had in his prime. As the King of the Ring, I'm serving notice to every one of the WWF superstars. I don't give a damn what they are. They're all on the list, and that's Stone Cold's list, and I'm fixing to start running through all of them. As far as this championship match is considered, son, I don't give a damn if it's Davey Boy Smith or Shawn Michaels. Steve Austin's time has come. And when I get the shot, you're looking at the next WWF champion. And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
Obviously anything but humble, the fourth prestigious King of the Ring, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah, and that's the bottom line. And that's the bottom line is 316, because our book, The Donald, How Trump Turned Presidential Politics into Pro Wrestling, is now on sale for $3.16 instead of $9.99, which was also a joke, because your price point should be inside jokes. That's why we quit our jobs and just sell this book now.
Yeah.
But the book and this podcast is about the intersections of pro wrestling and politics.
Presidential politics, to
sure.
Be specific.
Yes, and we had a good. It's been a week.
It has been a week.
Yeah,
our big show last week was the fact that North Korea and the Donald came together due to the member of the NWO, Dennis Rodman.
Yeah,
which sounds like a joke, but is complete truth, which is fantastic.
The episode was sponsored, was a paid advertisement by the NWO.
The following announcement has been paid for by the New World Order.
In the book, we talked about the Trump Organization, and they're in the headlines this week.
Yeah, there's according to the New York Times, the Mueller investigation is looking into the Trump Organization. We already did that.
Yeah,
that's in the book. That's most of the book.
I assume that he's going to subpoena the book. That's how that works.
Right? Why didn't everybody just focus on the Trump Organization?
Yeah.
Why are you following a campaign? There's only 40 years of records. No one thought that would be a thing.
Yeah, well, that's what's going on. But really, I think the big show overall this week.
Well, it's a big show.
The Washington Post. The mood inside the White House in recent days has verged on mania.
We're on the fast lane to mania. We're
no
23 days a day.
We are on the road to mania, to WrestleMania, to White House mania. Earlier this week, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson was fired via tweet. How things happen.
They did wish him the best on his future endeavors.
Which was nice.
Yes.
Because they told him while he was on his trip to Africa to be on the lookout for a tweet, buddy. So that's the thing. Like,
what's
Vince,
what's worse, getting fired on your way back from Africa or getting fired on your wedding day?
You mean the way that WWE fired CM Punk via FedEx on his wedding day? When you said wedding day, I just want to sing like erotic.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. But as Goldberg said, who's next? So there's rumors that many people, I mean, by the time this goes up, maybe there'll be a whole new administration. rumors that McMaster, John Kelly, we've talked about for a few weeks, mm-hmm. The Secretary of the VA, Ben Carson, Zinke, possibly Devos after her disastrous TV interview. Who knows?
The McMaster one, though, seems to be the most important out of them because he's not a private citizen. He's still a general. He's still a general. Yeah. And unlike General Kelly, you always correct me, and that is not a general.
Just Mr. Kelly.
But I always refer to him as General Kelly for the same reason that we always refer to Sergeant Slaughter as a sergeant, regardless of the side of the aisle.
Because like
regardless
John
of the country
Cena,
that he was rooting
like John
for.
Cena, we respect the troops.
That's right.
Ward life. So it's a hell of a time. I mean, they're making all these changes last week. Actually, did we talk about this? Cohn left. That was last week.
Yes, we did talk about that last week.
Yes, and he's been replaced by...
I learned that globalist is a slur to some people.
Yeah.
Thanks to you.
You're welcome.
Didn't coin the term as a slur.
Oh, yeah, no, that wasn't... Yeah, you're welcome for
you
coining
informed
it
me that people
as an anti-Semitic
use
slur.
A term as a slur, even though it's technically... There's inherently nothing wrong with using the term. But if you have a certain context, it's racist.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome. So he's been replaced or will be replaced by Larry Kudlow, a TV commentator without an advanced degree who was fired from Bear Stearns in the 90s because of his alleged $100,000 a month Coke habit, which is just, that seems,
that's
I've never
impressive.
Bought Coke, but that seems like a lot.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
The fact that you're alive and thriving?
Yeah, well, I mean, he got fired, so he wasn't...
He's thriving now.
Well, now, because of he was on TV, and Donald Trump watches TV.
Hey,
ipso.
Kudlow, kudos to you.
Womp womp. I just wanted to go to a quote from the book Sex, Lies, and Headlocks, which is just great because it really is like all rumors, but it's just fun, and it's been printed and published, so we just quote it as truth. Quote, in the late 80s, the WWF was awash in cocaine, according to one Titan Tower intimate. Vince liked to brag with apparent justification that...
Hold on. When I hear Titan Tower intimate, I think of maybe a concubine of Vince's.
Yeah, well, you know, he's got them too. With apparent justification that, quote, I could snort as much of that stuff as anyone could put in front of me, never get hooked. And... Yeah, I think that's probably true for Vince McMahon, at least.
Are you hooked if you could afford it?
Are you hooked if you're chemically dependent on cocaine? That's what hooked would be.
I mean,
be.
We're all chemically dependent on cocaine. We just don't do it because we can't afford it.
Well, we're not dependent on it.
Unless you're CM Punk and you're part of the Straight Edge Society. We're a big CM Punk-friendly podcast.
Yeah,
here.
Well, we've taped up our hands and we've put X's on them. That's how we do this podcast every morning.
You're currently, for the listener at home, Chris is sort of dressed like combining both styles of The Undertaker. He's got a purple hoodie on and he had a black leather jacket trying to meld the worlds of the dead man and the American badass. So I will clearly be playing the role of CM Punk for the duration of the show.
Yeah, we can skip around here. I think we should talk about The Undertaker because you think it's a bad week.
Oh, it's a horrible week.
I think it's a great week.
So The Undertaker is your favorite wrestler.
Yes.
Hands down. You have multiple Undertaker shirts.
Yes.
I think The Undertaker is a horrible wrestler.
Yeah, but you're wrong. It's fine.
We all know he's the purest striker in the game.
Yeah. And
he's an old man. He's on his third wife?
Second.
No. I think he's on his third wife.
Sarah.
And he had his second.
And then McCool.
I thought Sarah was the second
one. Oh, maybe.
Okay.
Which wife was neck tatted?
Exactly.
Sarah.
He's a smart man. He just had replacement hip surgery. There's no shame in getting hip surgery.
Yeah.
It's a real bad idea to get hip surgery done and then go back into the ring.
Yes, but.
He appeared at the Cleveland Cavaliers NBA Championship celebration in his dead man gear.
With a wig. Obviously.
Come on!
Because he's the only.
This
he's
dude
the less.
Sucks.
He's the less. Last vestige of kayfabe.
Sure.
And it's a connecting line from the Hogan era to the modern era, which is not important for Hogan, but the fact that he spanned every part of the WWE is pretty, that's the impressive part.
Sure.
Yeah.
But you could say Vince is the same thing.
Well, Vince is Vince. But
I respect Vince McMahon more than I do Mark Calloway, The Undertaker.
No, of course you do.
Which is messed up.
Because you prefer the owners to the laborers.
Of course. Of course. I'm a big fan.
You're a big
because
capitalist.
I'm a stockholder of WWE.
Yeah, and a big
I'm
capitalist.
Against unionization.
I am a fan of the union, which was, or up your, what was it? It was like up yours. Or
I'm
like
a
union
fan of the Brood, to be fair, which
this
was an Undertaker
so
stable.
Off the rails. So Undertaker, John Cena has been on the road to WrestleMania, and he's faced many roadblocks, mostly that he's not getting booked in matches to win, and because it's fucking fake. And John Cena keeps saying, oh, I don't have a match, even though last year he kind of had a... He had a mixed doubles match.
He had the most important match of his career.
Yeah, because he proposed and broke kayfabe by saying his girlfriend's real name.
Yeah, and he did not use a WWE-sponsored ring. He did not go to Jared. He went to Tiffany. Which
Trump?
Is, no, not neither. Jared sponsors WWE,
Kushner.
And there's multiple proposals a year. Like ramping up to WrestleMania, featuring like Bayley helping out a man pick out a ring for his wife, and they go to Jared, and this is a big promo.
Yeah.
So for this year, they didn't do that because John Cena's like, I don't care about kayfabe. Your name isn't you're not a Bella twin, and this is from Tiffany's because I spent money.
You're getting worked into a shoot marriage, Brendan. John Cena keeps cutting promos about how the guys in the back don't want me to talk about this because they say the match isn't going to happen, but I want to face the Undertaker, and so he lost his latest chance at Fastlane to headline WrestleMania, and so he went full John Cena and called out The Undertaker, and I think it's time for the big evil, the biker Undertaker, to come back.
Oh, God, so bad.
Which was his gimmick in the early 2000s after he took a little break from the dead man persona. He kind of, it was very Attitude Era to do. Like, come... the gimmick as you at 11, that's Mark Calloway is Biker Taker.
Mark Calloway is an idiot.
Yeah, but that's not, you don't, what, you, that's the thing. You want to, like, hang out with these guys or something. Or, like, it's like talk politics with them. I want to watch them do wrestling matches, and Undertaker's very good at that.
No, he's not.
Historically.
He's not even top 10 of all time. In terms
debatable.
Of, like, wrestling
we'll have,
skill.
We'll have to do that at another time, because we have a lot on the agenda here. But basically, the first night that John Cena was in WWE programming, was on SmackDown, he accepted an open challenge from Kurt Angle and got like an attaboy from Biker Taker in the back. So there's this great poetry of like what started and ended, and also more importantly, going into the Hall of Fame this year, Mr. Kid Rock.
Recent White House visitor, Kid Rock. Multiple WrestleMania and no one time WrestleMania performer.
Yeah, the time
multiple Raw, multiple he performed everything. WrestleMania 25 when Kim Kardashian hosted. Right, there was like a 25-minute concert.
No, I think it's a different one. But there is a concert, and all the divas came down, and then a man won the Battle Royale, which we'll be talking about.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So that's exactly why they're doing this. Do you think they secured Kid Rock before or after they had booked Taker, or they just did it the same? It was the same time.
I think it's same time. It worked out in their favor.
All right. So now we have to respect Kid Rock because, like Donald Trump, he will be a WWE Hall of Famer, and we always respect our Hall of Famers. They went through battle. They came out alive. We have to give them tribute.
Yeah, they are the biggest names in sports entertainment.
My favorite part of this entire induction ceremony package or whatever is Kid Rock has conquered the worlds of rap, hip-hop, country, and WWE.
Two of those things are the same. I like that they refer to him as Mr. Rock. Like, it's his... It's Mr. Great. Rock is my father. I'm Kid Rock. No, it doesn't work that way. So, yes, the year that he performed a medley of his hit, which, by the way, Bala Taba, I think still goes.
There's some good songs.
Yeah.
No qualifiers. There's some good songs.
Have you ever heard the white guy, black chick?
Yeah, because he apparently was a white guy.
Yeah.
And he dated a black chick, and they have a person. They had a son or daughter. I forget which one.
They have a kid. Listen to the third verse, I guess.
Which was always made it weird to me because Kid Rock is teased. We talked about this on the show a lot because his connections to wrestling. He teased a run for Senate in Michigan, and people took it seriously. And this is actually why I like Kid Rock, because he's like, I'm kayfabing all you motherfuckers. I did this so you'd buy tickets. And he's holding on to the Howard Stern show.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
Yeah, that's the he's a carny. He gets it.
So when it comes to mainstream media not paying attention to certain things because they think it's silly and beneath them, they've usually been right.
Yes.
Let's just say that.
Sure.
But for this one, let's make some caveats here. Number one, morning radio, specifically Howard Stern. Number two, Opie and Anthony.
Yeah.
Howard Stern, you get a ton of Trump clips. You get Kid Rock admitting, like, this is all bullshit.
Yeah.
And then on Opie and Anthony, you get Triple H being like, dude, Trump thought the limo blew up and Vince was dead.
Yeah.
That's number one. Number two is our book. That's right. It. Everything is there. That's why no one that's interested in wrestling has been surprised by any of this thus far.
Yeah. And that's why we've been able to stay sane in an insane time. So speaking of that women's battle royale at Mania that a man in drag won, and also people not taking wrestling seriously. Mm-hmm. Earlier this week, it appeared that something that WWE they had done something that would just kind of like wrestling fans would get upset. There'd be an article on Deadspin, and then we'd all move on with our lives. They announced that there will be a women's battle royale at WrestleMania, mm-hmm. and they named it in honor of the Fabulous Moolah. Mm-hmm. And as if you listen to the podcast, you know our official position is fuck Moolah.
Maybe the worst person in wrestling, but definitely the worst woman in wrestling of all time.
Yeah, so she's a Hall of Famer in that regard.
Yes.
She was Fabulous Moolah. She was a pimp. I mean, there's really no other way. She pimped out females. She abused female talent. She pimped them out to promoters. She also actually, like, even if that, I mean, obviously that's the worst part. But even the actual, like, in-ring part, before that, the Mildred Burks, like, names that, like, JBL would say, they wrestled the same kind of style as the men did. Mm-hmm. And then Moolah popularized, like, the hair pull, the cat fight type style, because that's what she could do. But she was a carny. And she was a horrible person. But they, in the Attitude Era, they brought her back and Mae Young, who wasn't as bad, but was still kind of involved with her. And, but yeah, they named this thing the Fabulous Moolah in honor of her. And people were, like, all the replies on Twitter were this. And allegedly, I guess the guys on Reddit were like, let's contact the WrestleMania sponsor, Snickers, and let them know about who this woman was. And Snickers actually, or Mars Wrigley, put out a statement. It's like, we are actually not in favor of naming it after this
Interesting.
Person.
Interesting.
And because that's bad for business, they changed it. And it'll be like the women's WrestleMania, whatever, Battle Royale.
Two things about this. Number one, people like you and me were not shocked whatsoever. I am very surprised a campaign that began on Reddit changed a sponsor's mind to lead the WWE to change their mind. I'm very happy about that.
Right.
The other one is clearly now I have to think of the Warrior Award. Mm-hmm. Ultimate Warrior, he didn't have nearly as much sway or as much influence. It didn't shape wrestling nearly as much as Moolah. But for a while there, he was the most important person in wrestling for mm-hmm. about a solid year there. He went away for a very long time and then became a public speaker, a very bigoted public speaker. Mm-hmm. My alma mater, DePaul University, brought him to campus sort of as a joke, and then some clips went viral because he's a bad person. Here's one of those clips.
Nothing subject to moral relativity is left out between these two extremes. That the bum is as legitimate as the businessman. That homosexuals...
Oh, Jesus.
Homosexuality? You don't have an orgasm on me, honey. Let me phrase this correctly. Let me come down off my politically correct horse. That queers are as legitimate as heterosexuals?
How are they not?
That the anarchist? Because queering doesn't make the world work.
So Ultimate Warrior is not a good guy, but Ultimate Warrior's death might be the best death in wrestling of all time.
Yeah.
He goes to WrestleMania. He gets inducted into the Hall of Fame. He goes on Raw the next night. He cuts an incredible promo. Incredible promo.
Which
one of the
should,
best
we,
of all
we
time.
We put it here, but it's long, but you should watch the whole thing. Just look up Ultimate Warrior final promo.
He dies the next day.
Yeah. It was his final promo. Yeah.
He didn't look bad. He sounded great.
Yeah.
It was sort of like how Goldberg last year. It's like, oh, this guy looks amazing. Not even for his age. He just looks amazing. But apparently cocaine works, and he's no Larry Kudrow.
Or Vince.
Kudlow.
Kudos.
Kudos to Kudlow. Since then, they have a thing called the Warrior Award, which is presented to a humanitarian, and it's wonderful. Humanitarian or a young child. Inspiring figure. The one that happened, the first Warrior Award was presented to a young boy at WrestleMania 30, the Daniel Bryan one. And it was heartbreaking. It's Connor Secure. And this is like the WWE at their best.
Right.
It's called the Warrior
Award. Most cynical, but
it's called the Warrior
best.
Award. Ultimate Warrior is a horrible person. You and I know this, but when they announced this award, I kind of didn't know. I thought he like repented maybe, but not really.
But I think it's all timing, right? It's like, it's the difference of...
Five years.
Right, right. But it's all timing. It's like the Moolah stuff is happening now during Me Too and Time's Up. It's,
that's
it's like that's how Wonder Wheel came out last year, and Woody Allen has been doing this for decades.
Yeah.
But it just, the timing was just off by just a minute.
So the reason I'm bringing this up is because we actually have an interview with Rob Russo, who I think wrote the best article about why the Warrior Award should not be the Warrior Award. It was in Vice Sports in October 27th, 2017. WWE is whitewashing the Ultimate Warrior's bigoted past. Listen to our interview with Rob. Read the article on Vice Sports. If you're listening to this and you're listening via the WGN podcast page, we're going to link that in the description to both a former episode we did and this article. I think it's very important, and it's a really good summary. And even if you don't care about wrestling, it'll give you everything you need to know.
Yeah. So back on this, I mean, Stephanie McMahon goes on Twitter, thank you, WWE Universe, for using your voice. What remains most important is that the WrestleMania Women's Battle Royale will be a historic match and is part of WWE's unwavering commitment to our women's division. Hashtag Women's Evolution. Hashtag Change the Name.
And that's why I'm convinced that in 10 years, this will be known as the Stephanie McMahon Memorial Battle Royale.
Memorial, Jesus.
Yeah.
By the way, I still...
She's going to only die in kayfabe.
Yeah, I took this from the internet, but the fact that they didn't call it the Sensational Invitational in honor of dearly departed Sherry Martel, who actually was a pioneer, who was the type of person they want, except she died from, drugs, like everybody.
It should actually be like the China Invitational.
It actually should, because the men's version of this is the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royale, eighth wonder of the world.
Mm-hmm.
China was billed as the ninth wonder of the world. It just makes sense. They won't do it because of what Triple H has said. If when you Google China, you come up with their porn.
Yeah.
And
but you know how
shame.
You could fix that? Better SEO, which WWE has. It's not difficult to change things from the first result page in Google.
Yeah. So Stephanie was able to turn a negative into a positive, as she had done many times. Shane McMahon was able to turn a positive into a negative. It's a bad week for the first sons of the titans of industry.
So on Sunday night during Fastlane, Shane McMahon was accidentally kicked in the face. Once again, this is kayfabe, all fake bullshit, but sometimes things kicks connect.
Yeah.
And he was kicked in the face by Kevin Owens and then took a knee to the face or huluva kick by Sami Zayn. Is that what happened?
No, he got kicked in the face and then inserted himself in the match two times and then walked away smugly.
Yes. And then
because he's the good guy.
And then he appeared on Talking Smack after the show. And I only watched it because somebody was like, he looks messed up. And he did.
He always does, though. Since he's come back, he looks like he looks like Brock. He looks like he left the hot dog in the microwave too long.
This one he looked like he was and talked like he was concussed. So I think that kick.
Do you remember when he was on Talking Smack with Cena during Good Talking Smack? I don't recognize this Talking Smack as a program.
I do.
Good Talking Smack. Remember he was like, Cena's like, what's in that cup? And he's like, it ain't water.
This isn't part of canon to you?
No, it's not, because it has fucking Sam Roberts or...
I thought this one was much better. Anyways, moving on, we're not going to throw shade at Sam Roberts because his co-host, Jim Norton, was on our last episode of the show, and he's a big CM Punk fan. Yeah. We'll get to Punk in a second. Anyways.
You don't want to have heat.
No, I don't. Okay. Not with CM Punk. He's all in, by the way. Shane McMahon looked messed up.
Uh-huh.
I think he got concussed.
Good.
Two nights later, he appears on SmackDown, announces that the match at WrestleMania will be Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens, one of the few singles matches, and then all of a sudden, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens beat the shit out of Shane McMahon again.
Kevin's basically like, we can have that match anytime, you piece of shit, and they just beat him up. They put a chair on his neck and throw him at the ring post. It was awesome.
My favorite promo this year isn't really a promo, but it's Kevin Owens coming down the ramp. Here it is. He's referencing what they say to wrestlers when they let them go.
Let me be the first to wish you the best of luck in your future endeavors.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. No, Kevin Owens does a great job. Then they go in the back. They dragged in the back. Sami Zayn is trying to get the crowd to do na 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 na, hey hey, goodbye. And Kevin Owens powerbombs him into some metal that happens to be lying around because it's wrestling. And then Shane makes these noises.
Let's do it.
Just want to include that because he's the worst actor, and that's why I actually do want him to have a concussion, because I don't want him to insert himself into the match at WrestleMania, which is where this is probably going. Or God forbid, like a tag match with Ziggler and Shane versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. But anyway, that was the bad week for Shane. Donald Trump Jr., also not a great week, as he's getting a quickie divorce from his wife. Yeah.
This one is honestly incredibly unexpected.
Yeah.
But I don't know the history of like first sons and daughters and divorce.
Right.
I can't, clearly I can't think of any because I'm only 35.
Right.
And there haven't been any, but that's weird to me.
Yeah, no, I mean, his father's only had two divorces, so what would be the model there?
No, the model Rick Martel, I get it.
Yeah, yeah. So I just want to read this. This is from a New York Times a few years ago about how Vanessa Trump met Donald J. Trump. I want to read the whole thing because I think it's
amazing.
Funny. It's a great story. I'm at this fashion show, Vanessa Trump said, recalling their meeting in 2003. Donald Trump comes up to me with his son. Hi, I'm Donald Trump. I wanted to introduce you to my son, Donald Trump Jr. The three engaged in a brief, awkward conversation. At intermission, the older Trump again noticed a gorgeous girl nearby. Donald comes back up to me again. I don't think you've met my son, Donald Trump Jr. Vanessa Trump recalled. She remembers thinking, yeah, we just met 5 minutes ago. 6 weeks later, at a birthday party at a New York restaurant, they were introduced a third time, this time by a mutual friend. Neither remembered the other. We talked for an hour, she recalled. Then suddenly, something clicked. Wait, you were at that fashion show. Wait, you're, quote, the one with the retarded dad. Vanessa blurted out. That's a quote, so I can use that word. Should we play the Rock promo now or close the show?
Oh, we're closing. No, not closing the show. Here's the Rock promo.
Kane, you think you impress the Rock when your music hits, all the lights go out, you got fire coming out of the post, fire shooting out of your ass, you got fire coming out of everywhere. And then all of a sudden, you're doing jumping jacks, you're happy because Kane can talk. The big red retard can finally speak.
Yeah, so I mean, The Rock, who's going to run for president one day, he used to go on TV and say things like that. I had to find that at a different place because the WWE YouTube censors retard, which is good on them. Good for them, because they wouldn't want to have like someone whose character was that he was mentally handicapped, like they did with Eugene. So yeah, bad week for that. Although, so John Fogelsang, the comic and actor and stuff, he had tweeted something about, it's a joke, but also the fact that it's an uncontested quick divorce, one where assets can be swiftly transferred on the same day an independent special counsel subpoenas the family business. So, I mean, this is a work, okay? Like, which it also reminds, once again, this is like, is it wrestling or Arrested Development? Where this is, I feel like there's a Don Jr. going like, a wife can't get prosecuted for the crimes of her husband. And it's like, that's not true. I have the worst fucking attorneys. Like,
hold
I think
on.
That's what we're talking
so
about.
So wait,
here.
We're getting worked into a divorce angle. Did Triple H work Stephanie into a shoot marriage? Or
yes. Yeah, remember when he drugged her?
This is amazing.
Yeah. It's all connected, guys. And we're not crazy.
God.
Yeah, we have a...
There's so much more.
I know.
What a wonderful week.
Yeah. So you can talk about the Talking Smack thing. I don't think it's as important. So.
Okay, so...
Tell me why it's important. Convince me.
I'm not going to convince you,
okay.
But this is why Talking Smack still remains one of my favorite parts of WWE programming. WrestleMania this year is New Japan WrestleMania.
Yes.
The quote-unquote headlining match, but probably like the fourth, so like definitely in the middle of the card.
Yeah.
It's going to be AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura.
It could jerk the curtain, to be
it
honest.
It could be, yeah. Which actually is not the worst thing. Yeah. I'm going to go with...
third from the top.
The women's match starts the show.
Okay.
That makes sense to me.
Okay.
Whatever. Sam Roberts, not friend of the show, but adjacent to the friend of the show, Jim Norton. Was the co-host this week. Out of all of the guest co-hosts, if they're not Daniel Bryan, I prefer him definitely to the other two. So he mentions this match happened in New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yes.
We're 24 days out, 23 days out?
23 days.
That's the first time anyone in official WWE programming has mentioned like, hey, your headlining match for WrestleMania already happened.
Yeah.
That's fascinating to me. And then they quickly tried to move past it.
Yeah.
That's why I'm convinced that this is still unscripted. And then Renee just gets notes in her ear to like move things around.
Right.
That's when wrestling is fun. That's why I love CM Punk so much. It's that simple. It doesn't mean anything other than like there's still good, fun things to watch if you care about it. These are your little treats.
Yeah.
You're paying attention. Speaking of little treats, if you're paying attention, the one Sunday show I watch every week is Meet the Press.
Yes.
I genuinely like Chuck Todd. I think that show is very good.
Mm-hmm.
I actually don't mind the CBS show either. Anyways, that's not why I brought this up.
Yeah, Chuck Todd, and he's a Miami guy.
The reason why I like this show so much is because occasionally Chuck Todd will reference wrestling. When Trump came out, a la The Undertaker and the first night of the RNC and surprised everyone, the first question Chuck Todd had for him on the next week's Meet the Press was, hey, did you take that intro from Vince? And then Trump responded, Vince is a good friend. Like, what the fuck? That's not answering the question. It's amazing.
Yeah.
on Saturday night, for some reason, during a rally in Pennsylvania, quick caveat, that guy lost. That rally didn't work, but maybe it did work. This is what Trump said about Chuck Todd.
A show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
Which instantly made me think of when Vince McMahon had to apologize to CM Punk.
I apologize, you son of a bitch!
Ipso facto, yeah. Donald Trump and Vince McMahon are the same person. Chuck Todd and CM Punk are the same person.
That's kind of an insult to CM Punk.
No, it's not. Chuck Todd is an award-winning journalist that doesn't suck. He's the best TV journalist possible.
Okay,
he is.
We're doing, like...
He's a real
The
journalist.
Only jokes I can do here are offensive, so I'm not going to do any of them. But, no, I mean, it's not a great... Like, you're the best TV journalist. It's not the greatest award.
I disagree completely. It's the most important award.
The most important award.
The Slammy's number one.
Yeah.
Number two, TV Emmys.
The Warrior Award. The Moolah Trophy that someone was joking online. It's like they put out the call to the artist. All right, we need someone who can turn this statue of Moolah into a Snickers bar real quick. You got 23 days. Yeah,
so
no,
that's a silly little anecdote.
I have a sillier anecdote
there
if you want. So, according to the Washington Post, Donald Trump accused Japan of using gimmicks to deny U.S. auto companies access to its consumers. And in wrestling parlance, gimmick is your character. It's also a gimmick. It's used as a noun by one Stone Cold Steve Austin. It can refer to like a blade, like give me that gimmick to the head thing. So this is a quote of the Donald. It's called the bowling ball test. You know what that is? That's where they take a bowling ball from 20 feet up in the air and they drop it on the hood of the car. And if the hood dents, then the car doesn't qualify. Well, guess what? The roof dented a little bit and they said, nope, this car doesn't qualify. It's horrible the way we're treated. It's horrible. It was unclear what he was talking about. So yes, Donald Trump thinks that the officials in charge of importing U.S. cars drop bowling balls on them. And then I assume in his head, he thinks they laugh with a stereotypical Asian laugh and then send the cars back. That doesn't happen. There's nothing. Nobody knows what he's talking about. Maybe he saw those commercials like that where the ball bearings go on the contours of the car and in his head, bigger's better, big balls. Like I'm just spitballing. I don't know how dementia works. I don't know what's in his head. So yeah.
Someone should show him a clip of Braun Strowman lifting Elias's car and tell him.
That's actually what the test that the U.S. automakers use. Yeah. That's what the tariff will
be. The Braun test.
The Braun test. If Braun can lift your shitty Japanese car, then you don't get to import it. That's easy. Or they can show him a clip of during a Miracle on 34th Street fight, which is a great thing that happens at Christmas time, when John Cena opened a present. It was a bowling ball. And then he hit Alvaro Del Rio in the balls. Or the huevos, actually. And that was great. It was a great moment for America.
Everything's a joke. I love it so much. We've done a lot today.
Yeah, and we covered a lot of ground.
Did we cover everything?
I think we did. We're 23 days from WrestleMania. We're moments from White House Mania. You should check. I'm going to check real quick. Have you checked if he's tweeted?
No, I haven't.
Okay. So, yeah, we're... Nope, he hasn't. He hasn't fired anyone via Twitter. That's where we are.
So you're actually excited that The Undertaker's coming back.
As Biker Taker, yeah.
I hate you so much.
The best promo, I think, the Biker Taker, that even I think you would be convinced, is the time he beat up... This is more of a visual.
Ric Flair's son?
The one who's alive. I don't want anyone to think he's like a weird guy. No, he beat up Ric Flair's son, David. Mm-hmm. And David's like, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm kicking your ass, boy. Because he was trying to get Ric Flair to fight him. And then he was like... You got another brother, huh? After like he's bloodied this kid who can't wrestle. And he's like, you got another brother, huh? Oh, wait. You got a sister, don't you? Is that the match you think will kick off WrestleMania?
Oh, God.
Do you think Charlotte remembers that when the Biker Taker threatened to do something bad to a teenage Charlotte Flair?
I hope the match is actually Taker-Charlotte and Charlotte murders that old, old man.
I actually do hope that the week before Mania, he comes out and he's like, you know, I left my hat and gloves. I left my striker's gloves in the ring because I'm a real striker. The Undertaker, like, the Undertaker's dead. But, like, and then, like, American Badass plays. And he's like,
but AARP member Mark Calloway is here.